Hello and welcome back to the First and Ten podcast. We are continuing to round up our draft coverage. A couple more episodes left, and then we're on to the real season, the real football, all of that stuff. But joining for that, we have got Ash. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, bud. Looking forward to this one. I really like, always been a big fan of day two, the NFL draft. I think where dynasties are made, shall we say.
Yeah, it's Yeah, there were some. I mean, you get some more wild picks on you, some more random ones that you weren't expecting on day two a lot of the time. It's, I think once you get past a certain point, teams have sort of lot di more different values on players, don't they? And sort of like what they like and don't like what they like. But we'll get straight into it. Well, we'll look at the top of draft, top of round two. I mean, started off with Keon Coleman going to the Bills, LaShawn McConkey going to the Chargers. I mean, we'll start with. As we're on the Chargers, do you happy with that one? Got Joe obviously in round one, and then McConkey here.
Yeah, massively helpful. I thought it was like as a route runner, I think he's one of the best in the class. And I mean the speed showed up at the combine as well, putting in that sort of 40 time and stuff. I think he's really well suited to sort of the Chargers, to be honest, of where they're and what sort of the diversity and the sort of the direction they're looking at going. I think with McConkey, I think he's going to fit in really well and kind of take that sort of Keenan Allen role as such. I think is probably going to be really well suited to him. So yeah, really really happy with it. Obviously moving up, I really thought you guys were going to take him, to be honest. I think that like once you taken the quarterback, I thought 34 for McConkey was going to be a perfect pick for you guys. And obviously you moved back, got more draft capital, which probably was better for you guys as well in the long run, getting some more
Yeah.
faces in the door as such. But yeah, I think it worked out really well for both of us. But yeah, really really happy with McConkey, where some was pegging him as sort of their wide receiver four and wide receiver five. Comes off at like wide receiver seven, I think he came off at the end, five receiver eight. So yeah, really really happy that they got him there. And yes, yeah, cushions the blow of the Keenan Allen trade and the Mike Williams release as well in the offseason.
Yeah. Then shortly after that, we got to probably one of the foolers from night one, maybe one of the players we thought would cross the board in Newton. End up at the Commanders at 36. That feels like great value for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, massive value for them. I mean, they've always put a bit of a premium on defensive tackle. I mean, I remember them getting paying quite high, and they've always done that sort of. They've always liked them big guys on their D line. So yeah, it was a great pick for them. I think Washington absolutely nailed it with that pick at 36.
Yeah, I mean, there was a run of DTs, wasn't there, around this area. It was a few of them went off the board, but then we get to Philadelphia at 40, who again another. I mean, the next couple, next few picks really was it four quarterbacks in a row? I think, yeah, four quarterbacks in a row. But Cooper DeJean to the Eagles at 40. Just how does this just keep happening to the Eagles? They just seem to
I don't
get the
know.
perfect player to fall to them every time. The player that sort of seems to fit right in, and they get about 10 spots lower than. Most people would have them ranked. How do they keep doing this? It's just not fair.
I don't know how the league keep letting Howie Roseman do it, to be honest. I mean, they moved up for Cooper DeJean, but they didn't have to move up too far to get him. So I mean, it was great. It was such a good pick for Philadelphia to have him get him where they did at 40. I mean, I was pegging him sort of early 20s and then to get him at 40. I mean, they said that maybe the reason he fell was maybe scheme fit, but personally I know he really does favor sort of that cover three system, and you can play him like with his eyes downfield, and so you can scan the field a little bit more. But I mean, there's so much versatility with him. You can play him as the
Yeah.
nickel, play him on the out, like it just screams value there for Philadelphia. Yeah, I don't know how really they managed to get it at 40, but yeah, again, great work by Harry Roseman. He just keeps to be doing it every year.
I just don't think being like a nickel is such a big deal these days. As in, like, I think it's just
It's
a
prime
very
position
valid
now.
position.
Yeah,
Like going
100%.
back, maybe it was sort of a bit more of a knock on someone. I just don't see it as a knock on players that, maybe once was, but yeah, it feels like a real value pick for them. I mean, Saints straight after get Kool-Aid McKinstry again, another player that was it, you saw him most first round box. I think he was going. There wasn't many that he slipped out the first, so
No.
good pick up here for the Saints at 41.
Yeah, definitely. And that the probably early part of the draft process, Kool-Aid McKinstry was higher ranked Terrion Arnold in regards to before the season started. Do you know what I mean? In college football, there was talk of Kool-Aid being one of the, or if the, might be the first cornerback coming off the board, really, in some regards. So, and then obviously Quinion Mitchell and Terrion had great seasons this year, but Kool-Aid's nothing to put your nose up about. I think in the long run, I think that's going to be a great pick for the Saints. I think that's, going to work out really well.
Yeah, like it's not 100%, but drafting Alabama defensive players sort of probably going to work out for you pretty well overall, isn't it?
And Saban's got a good eye for the cornerbacks. But, you know what I mean? Like, the very few that have come out from Alabama and just been absolute duds. So, yeah, I think it's going to work out really well.
Yeah, another faller, someone who easily could have gone the first round. I mean, the Raiders maybe didn't get value at 13, but at 44, Jackson Powers Johnson, it feels like a really good pickup for them there, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's they announced him, I think, as a guard, which was maybe surprising for a few. I mean, that people had pegged him to be sort of that sort of center guard swing as such. So yeah, I think he'll be a starting right guard for them for sure. And yeah, I think that it fits the mold, like the physical sort of way they're gonna want to pound it. I think if Samir White's gonna be the power back as well, I think that would be really, really good for him. So yeah, a great pick for them at 44. Yeah, did we, like you said, we thought that he might go off a little bit higher. But the centers, we seem to have it last year. I think Tippmann, people were pegging Tippmann and I can't remember the other one that was going quite high up last year. And both of them centers fell in the end. Like they were getting pegged in the first round and then both of them slipped into the second. I think the Seahawks took one and the Jets took one, I think. So it kind of does that sometimes. And we had that similar with like Creed Humphreys and stuff. Like you don't see, like, even though they're pegged really highly, the centers, you don't normally see them now start going in round one. So maybe that's like a little thing that you could look at in the future with maybe that scenario, maybe dropping down the board. So I could see, like you said, like centers dropping down into more so day two now instead of day one picks.
I do wonder if, this rise of, not that they've not always been important, but defensive tackles seem to be
Yeah,
maybe more important
100%.
than they always have been. I wonder if that will sort of even just unbalance itself out as time goes on, because tend to have that as a bit of a response, don't you, in future years, like the tackles are coming off, then in future years, you get the guys going up against them that go off higher and become more important.
Following the money.
You've got to, really, haven't you? I mean, after that, we had sort of, I mean, we got the first running back off the board, Jonathan Brooks to the Panthers. I mean, again, it's a pick that I don't love for the Panthers. They're just like weird. Like, I don't mind Brooks. I think he's a good player, but like, do the Panthers,
Really need one.
are they not got other needs than a running back, no matter who he is? Like I say, I like Brooks, but he tore his ACL. It's not like he's it's a nailed on sort of move. It's a
And he's
weird
a,
one,
like,
wasn't it?
and the thing is, like, what's the worst thing you can do in regards to, you've just had a quarterback that's come off a really, really bad rookie season. And then you're going to start giving him handoffs to a rookie. Like, it's like, just think a little bit more. Like, if you wanted a running back and you were that certain, I know they went for Miles Sanders, they got it really, really wrong last year, but they had still had a hell of a lot of cap. So they could have just gone and got, like, don't have to go and get your high tier guys. You could have got a middle of your tier running back in from the free agency class and just pop one off at, like, I mean, like Mixon and things like that, people traded for and stuff. You could have gone and got someone that's got a little bit more savvy, a bit more nouse, a bit more. So he's been in the league a little bit longer. So take the pressure off of Bryce Young. But it just feels like Bryce Young's now got to put someone else on his back in regards to he's got to kind of help Jonathan Brooks along the way. And like if you had a veteran in as a running back, you could have maybe would have been a better solution to have that sort of helping Bryce Young out instead of him having to sort of carry this team so much at but after, especially after last year. So yeah, a bit of a strange one. Obviously, like just having I didn't expect really, to be honest, the running back go that high. I thought it would be more in the sort of late 50s, 60s range. But again, we're talking about Carolina here after the first round. They've done it again on their second pick.
So it feels like they are trying to help him, but it just feels like they've got good intentions, but just the moves are really bad. And I don't know. It's tough to It's tough to watch as someone who sort of wants Bryce Young to do well, and I
Yeah.
liked him a lot last year, and I don't know, it's tough to watch really, but I mean, I personally, I expect to see a lot more wide receivers come off the board in this second round. So we've already spoken about two of them, but we also had Polk go to the Patriots, and then Mitchell to the Colts. But other than that, there was no other wide receiver off the board in round two. Do you think this was just a case of there's just so many good ones that, other positions had a bit more scarcity, and you can find a wide receiver later, but you might not be able to find a corner
Yeah,
or an edge or.
I think things sort of the tears sort of kind of ended for me after Mitchell went off the board. Like, I think they're the guys that, to be honest, even hot, like Mitchell had this. He's apparently not doing well with his diabetes, and he doesn't control it that well and stuff. So that's kind of why he fell in the draft. So he was kind of the one where he stuck out like a sore thumb, because I think you kind of got all the best wide receivers come off the board after the Polk pick, to be honest. Like, it was done. All them ones above Polk were all taken. Leggett maybe was the one that you can question, but those were kind of the consensus guys. And then Mitchell went, and then, like you said, you had the big drop off. But I think that was a really big tear break in regards to the more of the higher echelons of guys that you would probably favor over other positions. And then once you get into the next range of wide receivers, like we'll talk about later, is then you're kind of in amongst it where, are they as important as your defensive tackles, your linebackers, your safeties, your corners, and stuff? And I think that's kind of where the situation was. I think that's why you had a high run of wide receivers early and then a big gap, because all these other positions, there was real value there at taking them other positions over a wide receiver.
Yeah, definitely was. We also saw another tight end come off the board, Ben Sinnott to the Commanders. Again, solid move, but doesn't really move the needle too much for them. But I think the Commanders overall, we'll get to maybe some teams later on, but I feel like the Commanders had a good draft, didn't they? They feel like a team that's come out of these with a much better team than they went in with out of they're up there with one of the best, aren't they, I think?
Yeah, definitely. I think they had a really good draft, Washington. I think with the picks, they, like you said, Newton early in this part of the round, and then Sinnott for me was a little bit high. But I can understand what the plan, as long as you've got that the plan for him as such. Obviously, like, I think Daniel Jeremiah and the NFL Network covered him as saying he's got like a Kyle Juszczyk. For me, I saw a lot of Tyler Conklin in him when I scouted him. So that's sort of the player I think that Washington are going to get, reliable hands and just sort of that dogged sort of player, which will definitely help out in that sort of run game and passing game for the Jaden Daniels for the sort of short yardage and stuff like that. And then obviously Washington also getting Mike Sanestrill, which is, I mean, he's such a good nickel, like probably my favorite nickel of the whole draft. So I think they've done really, really well, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, another corner that fell was Enix Rector. He was someone who, I mean, Daniel Jeremiah kept talking about him on night one. I felt like he brought him up a lot as someone he liked more than most. But
Yeah.
I mean, corners in general felt like they fell this year. Is it another thing where there's quite a lot of good ones, or is it just the position? Because I mean, we see corners go so high in previous years, haven't we? And
Yeah.
this year they just fell, or was it just that this year maybe isn't the best class of them, or what do you think it was? Why do you
I
think that
think it
happened?
was. I think it was a deep class rather than a special class,
Yeah.
but there was very, very good depth there. I mean, if you're getting Breakshaw at 61, I think you've done really, really well. Whereas, like you said, you've had other positions that have kind of pushed up. But someone said to me another reason why the cornerbacks fell as such is because of hit rate. Like, over the past, what, 5, 6, 7 years, if you look at hit rates of cornerbacks in the NFL, round one cornerbacks, it's like 29%. It's really, really low.
Yeah.
So maybe the NFL are just cottoning on to the fact where they don't want to invest such high money in such a sort of temperamental sort of position, because we have seen that of late as well in regards to cornerbacks. Like, if you think about JC Jackson, the money he got from the Chargers and how much he's fallen off, and then you've had similar situations where you've had really bad injuries with White and Gilmore. Like, it seemed to, like, the hill came, and like, it's really, really weird, like, how that position has just been so turbulent and up and down. So maybe they just looked at it and said, round one, we can't miss. Like, we have to get it right. And picking a cornerback in round one, sometimes that is quite temperamental. So it could be something like that. That's why some of these cornerbacks fell. But another reason I think is because it was a deep class and not a special class.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, was there any other picks in round two that sort of really stood out to you one way or another?
I think Pittsburgh taking Zach Frazier is such a Pittsburgh move. Like
Yeah.
to follow that on from Troy Fotanu. That I mean, they've got three first round guys now on that line. So I mean, you've got Broderick Jones from last year. Then you've got Zach Frazier. You've got Fotanu. I mean, that is literally the whole of your left or right hand side, depending on which way you want to flip Jones. Absolutely stonewall pick there. I think that was for me one of the better ones. It was nice to see Braden Fisk team up with his partner in crime at Florida State. I think that's going to work out really well for the Rams with Verse and then with Braden Fisk. I think that's going to cushion the blow of the Aaron Donald departure. So they're two that I think are quite nice. But yeah, I mean, I love what Pittsburgh did there. I'm a big fan of Javon Bullard out of Georgia, the Green Bay Packers there for pick 58. So I would say, yeah, probably Javon Bullard. I really liked the Zach Frazier, and I'll go also as well, Ladd McConkey. I think he's going to work out really well at Chargers.
Yeah, that's a really good shout. Right, we'll move on to round three. Sort of a similar story. We saw sort of a lot of wide receivers drop him. We didn't see too many go off the board. It was sort of could Spencer Rattler come off the board, but obviously he made it to day three. I mean, there just wasn't a good spot for Rattler, was there? I don't think. Once them six quarterbacks are gone, it was tough to really work out who was going to take it, wasn't it? Unless it was someone like the Giants or it was. I mean, I think he ended up getting a good landing spot in the end, to be fair. But we'll talk about him on the day three pod. But did you think he was going to come off the board, or did you see him falling out of this sort of while you were watching?
He's not really my Rattler's not really my cup of tea. Like I think the league showed you just how, like, now the draft's done, it's all settled, how they really viewed these quarterbacks. There was the top six, and then there was everybody else. There was not really like a developmental guy or as such, like, that's worth taking a day pick on. So I think that you are seeing that a lot now in the NFL, where you have like the high echelons guys where they're really coveted, and then you don't really see day two quarterbacks that much, really. If they do, they're like really high in round two, but very rarely do you see players come off the board, say between pick 50 and 90 now, really. You don't really see it, because if you want to invest that, you normally get pushed up the board, and then most of the time the other guys, they push them back down to sort of day four, day five, round four, round five, because there is other needs they need to address, really. So yeah, I didn't really see one coming off, and obviously it proved right.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of the stuff about, the Netflix documentary and all that? I mean, I think it's pretty fair that, he gets judged on that. Ultimately, he's put that out there, and he was just a massive dick. Like he was a massive dickhead, and it's only what, 4 years ago, was it? 5 years ago? It's not that long, and no matter how much they talk about him growing up, he was awful in that. Not a very good teammate. There's a
It
lot
didn't
of
come
bad
across
stuff
well.
out there, wasn't there?
It didn't come across well at all. But like you
Yeah.
said, you kind of got to give these guys a chance in some regards. So we'll see how he turns out as a pro. But I wouldn't hold out too much hope
Yeah.
just because of where the NFL drafted him. Like if he was that much of a diva and he was that good, he would have gone higher. Like
Yeah.
he just would have gone higher. So you have to take into account where, I mean, I know the NFL aren't great at sort of judging quarterbacks, but 9 times out of 10, they get it right in regards to round one. Quarterbacks go in round one for a reason. There's very few that really drop down and are sort of like your Brock Purdy's and your Russell Wilson's. It doesn't happen that often, you would say, maybe once in a decade, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's not been too many, is there? And I mean, I think once you get past sort of, I mean, even second round, if you end up with a good backup out of it, it's not really a bad outcome, is it, of quarterbacks, which is yeah, brutal really. But I mean, we saw a few running backs come off the board. I mean, we'll talk fantasy for this because it feels like they all got a pretty awful landing spot. The running backs, it feels like doing these drafts these last few days. It just like one of them or two of them will probably break out and like win the job, like we've seen in the past, like Dameon Pierce and whoever else. I can't even think off the top of my head. But I mean, every running back you thought, oh, that, like, I don't mind them. They just seem to go to a spot where they're going to be really struggling to get touches early, aren't they?
Yeah.
Would do any of these landers what sort of take your fancy as a, drafting the rookies this week?
I think Trey Brenson's the one, if I'm honest. Like, I think like he was my RB1 going into this whole draft process. Love the breakaway speed and like that big bodied back. So I think that Connor has been like everyone thought Connor was after the Pittsburgh, that he went from there. From Pittsburgh to Arizona, everyone thought that it was kind of the end of Connor. And if I'm honest, he's just been so consistent these last few years and surprised quite a lot of people how well he's done in Arizona. But it kind of feels like this could be the one where it transitions over to Trey Benson. I think he is that good of a running back to be able to take that one over. But everyone else, it really does sting when you look at everyone else's landing spots and say, where are you going to get any fantasy value from it, to be honest?
Yeah, it was yeah, it's brutal. It's just sort of throw some darts and hope for the best, isn't it? I think it's
Yeah.
yeah, tough because yeah, I was a big Blake Corum fan, but and he goes to Rams and he's not too dissimilar to Kyron Williams, I don't think. It's gonna be
Yeah.
tough there, but yeah, I don't know. Some of them will break out, someone somewhere will break out and
Yeah.
be good for you. But if you manage to find them, then good luck to you, I think, because
Yeah.
yeah, it's tough. Again, not many receivers come off the board in this round. I mean, maybe the most interesting is Luke McCaffrey to me, the Commanders' last pick of the third round.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to get headlines as because of his brother, but I don't know. I sort of like these players that are converted from other positions, and obviously, I'll always have a soft spot for Julian Edelman. Not everyone can be Julian Edelman, but this one looks like a fun one for the Commanders. I mean, we'll get onto some of these other wide receivers, but do you like McCaffrey? Do you think he's someone that, he's got a lot to learn? Don't get me wrong, but he feels like there's something there to me.
I think they're going to use him as that Curtis Samuel role, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously now Samuel's gone. That's maybe something they looked at to maybe use him in that role. So there's obviously maybe a pathway for him to be able to go into that. For me, it was 2 rounds too early, personally. Like,
Yeah.
I had him as a sort of day round five sort of player. Like, so yeah, for me, that's I wasn't overly keen on that. I think Roman Wilson to Pittsburgh's a slam dunk. I think that's going to be a great value for them. I think
Oh, I
that.
mean, with their track record of these like third rounders and stuff is
Yeah,
mad as well, isn't it?
100%. So that would be one person I'll be targeting in round two of drafts. If you can get your hands on him late round two, mid round two, that would be really good value for me. And Jermaine Burton, I had probably like 3 months before the draft, I had Jermaine Burton as my wide receiver five. Like, I absolutely loved him on tape, like what he showed up. But obviously, it's the character concerns where it took an absolute knock for him. But still, to go pick 80 and to go into Cincinnati, that really
A nice
entices
place to
me.
play, isn't it?
Yeah,
Like,
like you're there with Chase, you're there with Higgins. If Higgins moves on, like there's a real like pathway there for something to maybe happen. So I really like the landing spots for some of these wide receivers, especially compared to what you had at running back.
yeah, definitely some more to
Get your
play
teeth
with.
into. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because yeah, I mean, even Corley at the Jets, there's a chance that he can sort of do something there, isn't there? There's
Yeah.
a there's definitely a spot for him on that offense where,
Yeah.
all Aaron Rodgers' mates are now sort of about 45 years old and
Yeah.
gonna struggle themselves. There's definitely room for someone to sort of emerge as a sort of target, get a lot of
Yeah.
targets there.
Yeah, someone said to me like high ceiling for Coralie would be Randall Cobb for what he did in that offense for the Green Bay Packers. Like, that was like you had your Jordy Nelson, didn't you? And then Cobb
Yeah.
kind of came in. So if you've got Garrett Wilson playing your sort of Nelson Davante Adams role, and then Coralie's kind of your Cobb. So I mean, it could be that is you could get sort of 80, 90 catches from him this year, which would be amazing. But you kind of still got a temper aspects with you still got Mike Williams there. Do you know what I mean? You still got this good run game that they've got as well. So
Yeah.
it's definitely there's definitely, like you said, a pathway for Corley to be fantasy relevant for sure.
Yeah, definitely. On some of these other players, we're into third round. Is there anyone that sort of really stood out as you for great value?
I like There's a few picks, sorry. I mean, I love the Junior Colston. I mean, to go back onto the Chargers, I love that Junior Colston went to his coach, Michigan. And so he's going to be playing the dart with a helmet. So everything is going to work out. Jesse Minter is the defensive coordinator for the Chargers. So Michigan defensive coordinator that had Colston there. So I think it's going to work out sort of like a dream, really, for Colston at that linebacker position. I like that the Cowboys addressed their offensive line. I think Cooper Beebe is going to be a really good player. I think that one's worked out really well for them. Obviously, we've touched on some of these wide receiver positions. I think they've worked out really well. Elijah Jones, out of Boston College for Arizona, he'll play the nickel. He's going to be really, really good. That was a really nice pick as well. Peyton Wilson wouldn't have been there at pick 98 for sure for Pittsburgh if he hadn't had so many injuries. So again, I think Pittsburgh really knocked out of the park. Zach Frazier, Peyton Wilson, and Zach. Peyton Wilson and Roman Wilson. I mean, I don't think you could have that just installs a Steeler mentality, them three players, if I say so. So yes, them picks, I would say, for me, really did stand out. I look quite like Zach Zinter there as well for the Cleveland Browns. So they would probably be the guys in round three.
Yeah, and I think we've seen him previously, you know, like the Rams last year, their sort of team was sort of turned around, really. It looked like, you know, they were heading very much in the wrong direction, but their team was turned around with sort of draft picks in this sort of area that, you know, really hit, and, you know, this area and a bit beyond. But, you know, it's where these GMs can really make their reputations and or lose their jobs in some cases. But I mean, any real reaches in there? Obviously, you've already said McCaffrey, but is there anyone else that sort of stands out as a real reach? Because, I mean, it's sort of said at the start of this episode, I think, that, you know, once you get to this stage, teams have such sort of wide ranges on sort of where they like these players compared to other teams, and, you know, scheme fits and stuff sort of matter a lot more, and
teams
will just have their guys and stuff. But is there anyone that sort of really stands out as like, oh, that was a weird pick?
Probably not overly. I mean, if I had to say one, I mean, going back to the sort of the Raiders, I think that was maybe a little bit of a stretch for me. I think he was like consensus, what, 177 on people's big boards. They ended up taking him that high. I think it was 160, 170 or something on the consensus, and they ended up getting him at 77. So but that's Tom Telesco for you. He does look a project in round three. So I would say that was probably a little bit of a stretch for me. Because if you look at the guys that are sort of in and around them, sort of the guy from Yale, Brandon Trice, Cooper Beebe, even Christian Haynes. Like, Christian Haynes would have been a great pick for Vegas. I think that's probably maybe more, maybe because they took Powers Johnson, maybe, and they played him. They're going to play him as guard. Maybe it didn't really suit as much, but yeah, they should have maybe addressed that tackle situation in round one, is where maybe I was getting at. But yeah, that was probably the one I would say that stands out to be probably a little bit of a reach for me. But again, like you said, after you get past all the sort of like 40, 50 players, the big board, the projections change of what people need, what people value, and et cetera, and scheme fits and stuff like that. So some of these players are really, the high end of the draft is always players that should really be able to find their feet in any scheme. Whereas when you get later in the draft, some of these guys really aren't great at the run. They're not good at defending the pass, etc. They're not good in zone reads and stuff like that. They're not good in loads of different aspects in regards to some of these positions. So that's kind of where you see the big boards all change around, and you get players kind of, people say, oh, it's a bit of a reach. But most of the teams still, like in history, I would say most people, if you draft to the consensus big board, you don't really go far wrong, I think, in these drafts.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Right. I think that wraps us up for day two. I mean, at this stage, there were still some good players on the board, wasn't there? I mean, wide receiver in particular had some players that, I mean, someone like Troy Franklin, a lot of people had as a potentially first round pick, you know, at least top of the second. And yeah, some other good wide receivers in there. I mean, we had some other positions that obviously had some foolers, but I mean, like overall, it feels like teams have, I don't know why, it feels like teams have drafted better this year than general. I'm not saying I know more than all these GMs and all that sort of thing. But it just feels like teams have drafted better overall. Does it to you? Like, it feels like the last few years teams have got better at this. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think that they, I think so. Now, I think you kind of got into this sort of maybe this Moneyball situation in regards to like people are finding what they need in regards to saying, right, this is our culture and like we need to get this player, we'll bring this player in, this bring player in, and we're going to try and change them to be to fit our scheme. I think teams now have caught on to the fact where they you kind of need to take the player for what he is and find your role for him and try not to do. And try not to be too overly complicated with some of these players. And I think that's where players have broken down in the past in regards to where they just don't, they, you kind of drafted him to be this and you're trying to change him and then things break down. I think that teams maybe are cottoning on to more of the fact where this is what he was good at college. Why don't we use the things he was good at in college into our football team rather than trying to change him? And I think that that's now sort of progression, and you're seeing teams draft accordingly for that and be better at drafting. And then you see all these players now, they're finding and they've got definitive roles in their rosters rather than it kind of like what you're looking at it thinking, where does this guy fit? So I think, like you said, the teams are getting better at this. So I think the younger culture of GMs that are coming in, I think that they're kind of maybe cottoning on to the fact that this needs to change.
Yeah, and I think sort of the rise of sort of analytics, not that they haven't used it for years, but I think teams are just so much better. There's so much more information out there, isn't there? I think that's sort of really, you're really seeing that, it's always going to be a bit of a crapshoot, the draft. And as you mentioned, was it corners at like 23% or something like that in the first round? Like, there's always going to be misses because, I mean, there's players that look like absolute can't miss. Even just like Trevor Lawrence, say. I mean, he looked like a slam dunk, almost like a Hall of Famer, didn't he, coming out of college? And I don't know. Now, is he a top 10 quarterback? I don't think so. If I was making a list, I don't think I'd have him in there without actually sort of jotting it down and working it out. I don't think my instinct would be he's not a top 10 quarterback right now, which, feels sort of wild. This, I know he's only a few years in, but it feels like he should be there now. It's so hard this draft, but teams are definitely getting better, I think.
100%.
Right, where can people find more from you, mate?
I'm on Twitter, and it's my handle is at Tilza999s.
Okay. And you can find more from us at First and Ten underscore. We're going to be doing a lot more this year. Quite often in the off season, we have a bit of a break. I mean, we go in with the good intentions of doing lots of stuff, but this year I'm committing to it. I'm going to make sure we do lots of episodes and
Fantasy ones, team build up ones.
Yeah, I think there's so
There'll
much
be a few.
stuff, and we'll try and get some guests on and things like that. People from other podcasts and fans of different teams, so we can get some different perspectives. Because obviously, we have six people sort of rotate around this podcast. I think it's quite good that we. I think everyone's sort of quite different, so but it's always good to get more and more people. It's fun, but yeah, make sure you subscribe to get all the latest from us. Yeah, we're going to do loads through this off season and in the coming weeks. But until next time, we'll see you later.